razor and take what's there. Cause finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about the revolution.
This Week in Radical History for the week starting November 24th. Much of the radical info for this week's show came from the People's Calendar at the Daily Bleed website. This week's show features audio segments produced by the Radio Roots crew at WBAI in New York, and inspiration for the whole kit and caboodle came from the Slingshot organizer. Here we go.
Yo, check this out, man.
There is something going on in the ether.
The kids are now moving back into the street.
For every Martin they cut down, there must be 100 Martins to step into his shoes. Hey!
This Week in Radical History for November 24th starts out with New World Shenanigans, when on this date in 1656, New Hampton, Long Island, now New York, passes laws restricting native movements. After all, they did sell the land for some whiskey and colored beads. New rules against renting land to former inhabitants, not allowing wigwams to be set up without the town permission, and not allowing natives to travel through the area on the Sabbath. You know, honoring God on his holy day by restricting his creatures. Also November 24th, 1898, International Anti-Anarchist Conference, prompted by the assassination of Empress of Austria, is convened by Italian government officials in Rome. 54 delegates representing 21 countries, including police chiefs from several European countries and major cities. The conference marks the development and strategic international surveillance of and exchange of information about anarchist activities. Yes, we are everywhere.
You've come to the wrong shop for anarchy, brother.
Anarchists have a group?
I believe so, sure.
They assemble?
I don't know.
Wouldn't that completely defeat the purpose?
To quote government officials, the government is, quote, crawling with commies, unquote. Like the Hollywood Ten, a group who refused to testify on this date in 1947 before the U.S. House Committee on Un-American Activities about alleged communist involvement. The ten are blacklisted. Some are sent to prison. The chairman of the committee, J. Parnell, wanting to show us all what it really means to be a good American, is convicted 4 years later for padding his payroll and pocketing the money. Also November 24, 1963, the first televised assassination, Kennedy assassin Oswald is killed by mobbed-up Jack Ruby. I'm sure it was Ruby's patriotism that brought him to kill the former Marine. More great Americans, for on this date in 1969, Lieutenant William L. Calley is charged with the massacre of over 100 civilians in My Lai, Vietnam, in March of 1968, and is ordered to stand trial and is court-martialed, eventually found guilty, and does a short stint of house arrest. Another great American, future Secretary of State Colin Powell, then First Lieutenant, was in charge of the initial cover-up of the My Lai massacre. Lastly, for November 24, 1979, federal government for the first time admits that troops in Vietnam were exposed to the toxin Agent Orange. Ironically, last week in a buried news story, the U.S. government admits that Gulf War syndrome really does exist, showing once again how disposable veterans are. And thanks for serving. This week in radical history for November 25th, 1500 in Spain, Columbus returns after his third voyage to the New World in chains, although it be a little too late.
This is your radio supporter, Crystal Graham. On this day, November 25th, in 1894, the U.S. military arrested 19 Hopi men for their continued resistance to the government's program of forced education, assimilation, and land seizure. About a month after being removed from their homes and families, the Hopi prisoners were sent to the military prison on Alcatraz Island for, quote-unquote, seditious conduct, and were held for almost a year. The story of the Alcatraz prisoners is just one episode in an ongoing struggle between the Hopi people and the U.S. government. During the late 1800s, there were many U.S. government attacks on the Hopi people's sovereignty and culture as an effort to Americanize them through imprisonment, intimidation, and punishment. Yeah, I said it. This is your free speech educator reminding you to never let the past slip away.
And we're trying to keep history alive by letting you know that on this date in 1904, Ba Jin, also known as Pa Chin, is born, a Chinese novelist who discovered anarchism with the reading of Peter Kropotkin and Emma Goldman, and he created a pseudonym, Ba, for Bakunin, and Jin for Kropotkin. This famous Chinese novelist, Ba Jin, was constantly harassed by the communists, and in 1949 he was forced by them to rewrite his stories, removing or replacing all anarchist references with communist ones. Throughout his life, he is constantly harassed, like in 1966 when he was again disgraced, branded as a great poisonous weed by the Communist Party, as his writings were eventually condemned as seditious. Also on November 25th of 1919, amid a strike for union recognition by 359,000 steelworkers, ultimately successful, approximately 250 anarchist, communist, and labor agitators were deported to Russia yesterday, marking the onset of the so-called Red Scare. George Bernard Shaw would say about this time, quote, "The United States is a country where truth is tarred and feathered, lynched, imprisoned, clubbed, and expatriated as undesirable." George Bernard Shaw. Two more items from November 25th, like in 1997. During a traditional town reenactment of the Thanksgiving myth in Plymouth, police attacked Native American demonstrators, beating and pepper spraying several and arresting 25. History is written by the victors, and we'll be damned if we're not going to keep it that way. Lastly, on this date in 2001, Katie Sierra, a 15-year-old 10th grader at Sensenville High School in Charleston, West Virginia, is suspended for anti-war sentiments and her desire to start a student anarchist club. She self-identifies as an anarcho-pacifist and was kicked out of the school for opposing the Afghan invasion. Quoting her, "I don't know and don't have the answers for the war, but I do know that killing people is not right. I think our country is just too lazy to think of other solutions." She voiced her belief that people at her high school were permitted to talk about how they felt as long as there were others who agreed with them. She denied being anti-American and denies the cries that anarchists imply support of terrorism. She'd eventually win a lawsuit against her high school, but after returning was forced out of school again a couple weeks later as peer threats of violence against her happened. Journalist Amy Goodman, as she covered this situation, would term this event as new McCarthyism. As of 2004, Katie was reported as being a successful sophomore at a university. Now, for the next 4 minutes, you'll be hearing some great work done by the Radio Roots crew at WBAI in New York.
This is your Radio Roots reporter, Kat Aaron. On this day, November 26th in 1716, a real live lion was exhibited in the city of Boston. This is the first recorded incident of this kind in colonial America. And almost 80 years after this, the first elephant was imported from India to America, which was transported around the East Coast as a public spectacle. By 1834, a company known as the New York Menagerie toured New England with a number of, quote, exotic animals from elephants and rhinoceroses to polar bears and monkeys. Today, zoos and circuses featuring animals are extremely popular attractions despite the persistent accusations of animal brutality. Personally, I've always been curious as to why people find wild animals in small cages so entertaining. Yeah, I said it. This is your free speech educator reminding you, never let the past slip away. Say it, say it, say it. This is your Radio Roots reporter, Kat Aaron. On this day, November 27th in 1868, recurring tensions between American colonists and Native Americans mounted in the Battle of Washita River. More closely resembling a massacre, the 7th U.S. Cavalry Regiment, led by George Custer, attacked Black Kettle's sleeping Cheyenne village on the Washita River. Somewhere between 1 and 200 Cheyenne were killed. About 3 months before this, 200 Cheyenne, including Black Kettle, led a raid in Kansas, killing many of the American settlers. While many American history books identify this as what provoked the Washita River Massacre, it might instead be the mass killings of Native Americans by the colonists or the exploitation of valuable land and resources that pushed the Cheyenne to rebel in the first place. What a thought. Yeah, I said it. This is your free speech educator reminding you, never let the past slip away. Say it, say it, say it. This is your Radio Roots reporter, Kat Aaron. On this day, November 28th in 1785, the Treaty of Hopewell was signed between the Cherokee Nation and the United States. The treaty established equality and protection for all Cherokee people, provided that they notify the United States of any possible threats from other tribes. Article 12 in the Treaty of Hopewell said, quote, "The Indians may have full confidence in the justice of the United States respecting their interests." The treaty eventually gave rise to the Cherokee phrase, talking leaves, since they claimed that when the treaties no longer suited the Americans, they would blow away like talking leaves. This accurately describes the fate of the Cherokee, who went on to endure torture and genocide at the hands of the United States. Yeah, I said it. This is your free speech educator reminding you, never let the past slip away. This is your Radio Roots reporter, Kat Aaron. On this day, November 29th in 1781, the Zong Massacre claimed the lives of 132 enslaved African people. The crew of the British slave ship Zong had packed on more slaves than they had room for, causing disease and malnutrition. Upon realizing that the remaining slaves had little chance of survival, the captain ordered that the slaves be drowned in order to collect insurance on them. When they returned to England, the owners of the ship claimed the full value of the murdered slaves, who were legally considered to be physical property. This mass killing of African slaves resulted in a battle against the African slave trade of the 18th century and the eventual abolition of slavery in Britain. The Middle Passage is infamous for its inhumane conditions and the atrocious acts committed on board the ships. Yeah, I said it. This is your free speech educator reminding you never let the past slip away. Say it, say it, say it.
More radical history for November 29th, 1864, the Sand Creek Massacres. How the West was won by U.S. cavalry under Colonel Shivington, a Methodist preacher, in his attack on the Cheyenne and Arapaho people at Sand Creek, Colorado. This unexpected Indian camp is slaughtered despite the white flag of surrender. Having surrounded the camp, the troops butcher over 500 unarmed men, women, and children. After this victory, these fine sons of America scalp and mutilate the bodies, cutting out the female genitalia and attaching it to their hats and sandals. Their bodies are left to rot in the sun. 9 of the 900 cavalrymen were killed, and a local newspaper called this a, quote, brilliant feat of arms, unquote, and stated that the soldiers had covered themselves with glory. No mention that they also covered themselves with female genitalia. Lastly, for November 29, 1999, welcome to Seattle. The now infamous WTO protests begin. This week in radical history for November 30th, 1554, Roman Catholicism briefly re-enters England under the reign of Mary Tudor. She's also known as Bloody Mary, as she promptly has 300 Protestant leaders burned at the stake. In God we trust. Now, don't leave us out of the fun. Back in the New World in 1624, Richard Cornish is the first person executed for violation of U.S. anti-sodomy laws. Yep, executed. Also on this date in 1854, Fighting Mary Elsa McDowell lives. A social worker, she helped organize the first women's local union of meat cutters in 1902. Comprised mostly of women workers, the local grew to more than 1,000 members. On this day in 1900, an Irish wit, playwright, anarchist, and gay pioneer, Oscar Wilde, 46, dies in Paris, France. While dying in his apartment, Oscar takes one last look at the world he is leaving behind and declares, "This wallpaper is killing me. One of us has to go." Born in Dublin in October of 1854, this poet, writer, gay wit published in 1890 The Soul of Man Under Socialism, which is characterized by its libertarian nonconformism. In 1895, he is condemned for 2 years of hard labor for his homosexuality. This flamboyant genius also wrote plays that perhaps perform more often than any other single modern play, the hilarious The Importance of Being Earnest. One more Oscar quote I leave you with. All authority is quite degrading. It degrades those who exercise it. It degrades those over whom it is exercised. Oscar Wilde. More awesome rebel rousers, like in 1930, labor activist Mother Jones dies. Mary Harris Mother Jones, the founder of the Industrial Workers of the World, IWW, is a militant leader of miners and other union workers, dies at the age of 100. She'd be buried in Mount Olive, Illinois Cemetery. Into her 90s, Mother Jones still roamed through the hills of West Virginia, encouraging miners to organize. When a monument to her is dedicated in 1936, some 50,000 miners attend the ceremony. More rebel rousers. Massive protests continue in Seattle on this date in 1999, and the cops start the beatdown. As Dorothy Day, who died on this date 19 years earlier, once said, quote, "The masters, whether they are priests or kings or capitalists, when they want to exploit you, the first thing they have to do is demoralize you. And they demoralize you simply by kicking you in the nuts." We march together. 48-hour day. I'll handle the streets of Seattle. When it came dark, the door breaks through that starburst window. You left me all alone. All alone. This has been This Week in Radical History, produced just for you at the Glee Glee Studios. I leave you now with the last part of the Against Me song, recorded before they became f***ing sellout ass monkeys. Sorry, I didn't mean to offend my cousins, you monkeys. Until next week, as always, I am forever yours in the struggle. Mike Cannon.
Anarchists have a group?
I believe so, sure.
They assemble?
I don't know.
Wouldn't that completely defeat the purpose?